This is Pat Loika, and you're listening to Loika Mania. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to a very special Royal Rumble episode of the Loika Mania podcast, and I am your guest ring announcer, Pat Loika. But then again, I am the actual announcer here every time. That's bullshit. But anyway, I have two very special guests with me. First, he is the junior sales admin for Marvel Comics. He is Jim Viscardi. Welcome to the show, Jim.
Hey, what's going on?
And the other participant of this show, he is the associate editor of Marvel.com and the host, co-host of the This Week in Marvel podcast. He is Ben J. Morse. Welcome, Ben.
Hey, man, thanks. I'm glad the J made it in there.
I was going to say, wow, that's totally bad.
It's an important part of my name.
Actually, this may be the first or only podcast that I know of where people got ring introductions and theme music.
Nice.
I would only expect so much.
Yeah, yes. The first and last, I hope.
Well, the thing is, we haven't done any wrestling shows in this podcast in a while because we kind of moved the wrestling talk to a completely different podcast. But I figured, you know what, it'd be fun to do bonus shows in this thing again. And there's so many people in the comics biz who want to talk wrestling. I thought, hey, you know what, it'd be fun to bring it back and have comics people talk wrestling in my comics podcast show. So I figured it'd be fun. So I figured to start with you guys, since you guys are always on the up and up and always talking about wrestling on Twitter. So I think it'd be fun to talk Royal Rumble with you guys.
It's the same gist, you know, good versus evil, guys in tights, inappropriate proportions of body mass, I don't know, stuff like that.
But, but there's less botching in comics.
Oh, you'd be surprised.
I wouldn't be so sure about that.
Oh, actually, I have had heard stories, but you don't see it. You don't see it in the final product.
It means James is doing a good job if you think there's no botching.
That's right. Oh, I always thought wrestling, and probably more so now, you know, that I'm more involved in it, is it's live action comics, really.
Yeah.
That's true. We are fighting fanboys on Marvel.com, which we got a couple going up this week, which James did a recent one where he interviewed CM Punk, and there's so many wrestlers who are comic fans, and what it always comes back to is, you know, they say a lot of the stuff that attracted them to being wrestlers is stuff that they liked in comics, and that was just like the chance to be as close to a real life superhero as you can, as far as, you know, doing the larger than life character, being either the hero or the villain, you know,
or the
all that
source stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's awesome that, you know, it's really cool to see these guys, you know, who are into all this stuff. I mean, I think you guys ran a bunch of interviews throughout the years, and, you know, like I was really intrigued by Cody Rhodes, for example. That dude's awesome. And the fact that he designed his ring gear after Mr. Sinister's costume, I thought was fantastic.
Yeah, Cody Rhodes is awesome. Yeah.
At first, you couldn't see it for a while, and I was super angry because he had the black coat with like the maroon lines in it, and I had to stick my nose up against the television to try and make the designs out. But now that he's got the white coat with the black lines, you could totally see it.
Mm-hmm. So not only that, too, he always his favorite character is Archangel, and like when he has a really special occasion, like I think for a WrestleMania once, he always busts out like the maroon and purple tights specifically, like as a tribute to Archangel. Yeah. He does weird little things. Like he used to have the Triforce on his boots too. Yes. I don't know if he has that.
That is badass. That guy's awesome. That was a surprise to you when I read the interview with Sheamus, and I'm like, I didn't know that guy reads Ultimate Spider-Man. that's such a weird choice for him, because that's not something I expect him to be reading.
Well, it's funny. Well, I mean, we do the interviews, and then we have some great guys at WWE who work with us, Craig Tello and Joe Villa, and they'll basically just, you know, on a monthly basis, we'll say like, hey, you know, we're interested in this guy, but sometimes they'll come to us. Be like, hey, do you want to talk to Sheamus? He's a comics fan. And we're like, really? And, you know, it's always surprising. Or we'll find out, like, you know, Beth Phoenix is a huge comics fan. Or just a variety of the ones we did. Even when we had like, James, did you do the Alex Riley one?
I did. Yeah. Alex Riley, was actually, a pretty big comics fan. And you know, it's funny, all of the ones I've done. So Alex Riley, Evan Bourne, and I just did one with, Daniel Bryan.
Oh, that's right.
And yeah. They all love the X-Men and more specifically, like they all love Wolverine. And when people keep telling us that Wolverine is in too many books, this is why, because everyone loves him. Especially wrestlers.
Wrestlers love him.
That's it. So that is the reason we put Wolverine in all our books, because wrestlers love them.
Yeah, we need that pro wrestler demographic. And yeah. Get them more books.
That's right.
Yeah. Man, Daniel Bryan actually has been fantastic as in his heel role recently.
He's awesome. He's going to be, you know, when does this show go up?
This goes up this Friday.
Well, that's perfect, because that's when James's interview with Daniel Bryan will be up on Marvel.com.
All boom!
Right.
Plug.
Nice little synergy right
oh,
there.
Yeah, this is fantastic. This is how we do it here, Lookamania. Yeah. So, kind of going off of what we're already on before we get into the pure wrestling talk. We were kind of talking offline about how there's a lot of folks in the Marvel office who are into wrestling, and I think it'd be fun to share with our listeners, because like there's a lot of them who like wrestling and comics too. I think it'd be fun for them to hear like any stories within the offices about any funny wrestling related stories going on there.
Well, Ben likes to bring guys around the office all the time because yes,
wrestlers. Loves to bring guys around the office. not that there's anything wrong. Never mind. It's a lot of fun when wrestlers come in, you know, to do a show at Madison Square Garden or somewhere else, and they want to come visit the office, because then we find out kind of who the closet fans are. Mm-hmm. I think one of the best times, Christopher Daniels from TNA, and he was in ROH for a little while when he first started coming. He's probably the most hardcore comics fan of all the wrestlers I've met. Him and Cody Rhodes run pretty neck and neck, but he has come to visit the offices a bunch of times. To the point where when he shows up now, it's not even so much a special appearance anymore. It's just like, oh, this guy's here again. He's practically like on retainer. But yeah, there was one time he came by the old offices and brought AJ Styles and Nigel McGuinness when he was Desmond Wolfe with him. And we were just going like office to office. And AJ Styles, I love that AJ Styles brought, he was the TNA world champion at the time. He brought the belt with him. Which I remember, like, I went up to greet them at reception. I was like, oh, hey, man, you brought the belt? And I was kind of like, he's like, yeah, didn't really know what else to do with it. Kind of carried it around. So we took them all over the place. They had a good time, but, like, it was funny because we had AJ was one of the nicest dudes, and he had just, like, he's best friends with Chris Daniels, so he was really more there to hang out with him. He's, you know, not a huge comics fan, but he was really interested in it. Mm-hmm. So he came to our offices and just thought it would be kind of, you know, like an assembly line place, like a studio from the old days where we'd actually be making the comics. Mm-hmm. And, you know, was kind of surprised when there wasn't. But as we're taking them around, you know, various editors are jumping out and wanting to get their pictures taken. Like, nobody, people who I had no idea had any interest are like, oh, my God, I saw you on it was actually the week after they had just done the first Monday Impact.
Oh, man.
So everyone was like, oh, you had such a great match with Kurt Angle, this and that. And, you know, they were giving Chris some love. No one really knew who Desmond Wolfe was, but he didn't really care. He was funny. He was just this like kind of very snarky British guy.
British guy's super British.
Super British. But you know what? The best thing about that visit probably was we're in the old office. I don't know if we really have this in the new office, James. But we're in the old office. It's where Toy Biz used to work out of,
mm-hmm.
And Toy Biz had the TNA toy license at one time. So we used to have at the old Marvel offices. We had just like. Not even like full figures. Like we had some TNA figures just kind of lying around, but often it's like pieces or something, like a head.
Well, yeah. Funny. I actually have a really great story about a disembodied rhino head.
Yeah. But it's like we're walking around and these guys start noticing that there's like action figures of them.
A ton of Shark Boy figures. Those were all over the place.
Like AJ keeps going, like, what's with all these Christian figures? Is he looking at me? And I still have on my desk, I still have a Kevin Nash head that sits like on one of my shelves. So they were doing that. But then by the end of the visit, they ended up like, we got them like all the old rings and action figures and all the stuff that we weren't doing anything with. So they left the building with like bags and bags of old TNA action figures. And of course I'm down in the lobby with them and they're waiting for, Chris goes to get the car that they had rented. Mm-hmm. And so I'm hanging out with AJ Styles and Desmond Wolfe in the lobby with all these toys. And our doorman, who's this cool old guy, usually, was not so cool about us loitering with all these toys. I thought Desmond Wolfe or Nigel McGuinness and our like 60-year-old doorman were going to get in a fight. And I was like, this comes back around to the whole you never know who's a wrestling fan thing, because he didn't know who any of them were. And he was just kind of like, you know, I was like, oh, well, I guess he's not a fan. So then a couple months later, Mr. Anderson, Mr. Kennedy comes to visit with another one of the TNA publicity guy, who was the publicity guy was a huge fan. So he'd always come to visit and he'd bring whoever was in New York promoting stuff with him. So we get in the door and the same doorman just suddenly flips out and goes, Mr. Kennedy, and starts out like, hugging him. It was, wanted to get his picture taken. And he was like freaking out. And so of course I immediately, texted Christopher Daniels and let him know. I'm like, hey, you know that doorman who hated you guys? He's like, yeah. Turns out he's a huge wrestling fan. He loves Mr. Anderson. He's like, what? I was like, yeah, you remember how he had no idea who you were? You were hanging around the lobby? And I just gave him a hard time about that, which I should have thought about, because he's far bigger than I am.
It's actually funny, because during that Anderson visit, that was when he had discovered the disembodied rhino head. And he goes, oh man, I ride with Rhino all the time. I need to send him this picture. And it was just Rhino's head. Just, I had it sitting on top of like a cube divider and he totally freaked out. And I guess Rhino had texted him back almost immediately. Like, WTF, where the hell is that? And it was sort of at that same moment where we had, remember those like beat 'em up sort of plush doll things that, you know, if you punch them, they made noises. Well, we had one that had Christian's head on it, except he would always talk about the Stinger Splash.
Yes.
So it had a Sting voice box inside this, and it was just, it, everyone who touched it was like, what's going on? And I go, I don't know. Just enjoy it.
Just enjoy this gift. That same visit with the first three guys, I remember, like I said, about AJ bringing the world title, we went and did some, like video interviews, and they did some voices for our stop motion show, What the? And while they're doing that, AJ hands off the world title. And I remember that I would say outside of us and Arun and, you know, maybe a couple other guys, the biggest wrestling fan at Marvel, and James can correct me if I'm wrong, is Bill Roseman.
Your man at Marvel.
He's also, you know, edited all the Cosmic books, does Avengers Academy now.
Did my job, like, for a while.
Yeah, yeah. Before James redefined the job.
Yeah.
He was version 1.0. he's a huge wrestling fan. He'll talk about wrestling at, like, you know, the drop of a hat. But he somehow ended up with the TNA world title belt during this whole video shoot. And you just look over, but it's not like he's just holding on to it. He's got it like over his shoulder, like he's actually the champ. And he's like patting it and stuff like that. And I'm just like, Bill, what are you doing? He's like, dude, you never know. You know, you never know when I'm going to get another chance. He's like he's getting people to take pictures on their phone. So yeah, Roseman's a huge wrestling nut, but that cracked me out. That was a fun visit. And, you know, more recently, we've been working with WWE a lot. And we're still trying to get – we really want to get – I know Arun's pipe dream is to get – he really wants to get Mark Henry up to the offices just to see what would happen. Mark Henry, huge wrestling fan. or obviously comics fan. He's a huge comic.
Wow, I did not know that. I think also, he doesn't seem like it.
He's also a huge fan of a rune for some reason. Just it and like, but it's really funny too because Arun and I went to WrestleMania 25, whatever the one was in Houston 2 years ago.
Yeah, whatever. It was 25. 25. I remember Arun complaining about the Orton Triple H main event stuff.
Right. So we went to Fan Access, and we were online to see Cody Rhodes and Ted DiBiase because at the time they were priceless and they were awesome, and we really wanted to see them. We're probably six people out. They leave. Mark Henry comes. You know, Mark Henry comes, and I forget who else. Mark Henry and Funaki were signing autographs, and I just asked him if he could personalize my signature for me. At first I wanted him to do, you know, to James, you know, thanks for the great barbecue, Mark Henry, just so I could, you know, tell my friends that Mark Henry came to one of my barbecues, but I didn't do that. And, I just asked, you know, can you just put, you know, to James? And he totally gave me the cold shoulder. And he goes, if I got to do it for you, I got to do it for everybody. Ooh. And I was just like, oh,
now I wish you'd try the barbecue one.
Right? Exactly. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it's funny because then it's like 2 weeks or maybe 3 weeks later, we find out that he's a giant comics fan and, you know, wants to do stuff with us. And Arun keeps throwing it back in my face every time. He goes, hey, remember that time you met Mark Henry? And I'm like, that's not funny.
You know, it's funny, actually, Alejandro Arbona, who used to be an editor at Marvel, mm-hmm. It was Survivor Series when they were back in town. He's out to lunch, and I get a text from him, and it's just a picture of this giant back with a Hall of Pain t-shirt on it. And I go, "What? Why are you sending me this picture?" He goes, "Mark Henry is sitting right next to me." He's like falling out of the town. He's like, I was like, dude, I would not take pictures of him without. Yeah, but he's Yeah, he loves Luke Cage. He's a big Luke Cage nut. And he was really, really nice when we spoke to him. Cody Rhodes, it's funny when you were saying Mark Henry's a big fan of Arun because Cody Rhodes is a huge fan. Seriously. And, you know, I know Arun couldn't be on the podcast tonight, so we'll talk about him as much as we can. Yep. To make him happy.
Sure.
But he was when we go out to, I mean, you know, Arun, what's Arun's official title?
Director of Communications, Print, Digital, and Animation.
Right. So, you know, most of the guys in Marvel Officer, like James and I, were, you know, well proportioned, but, you know, normal sized humans, which you would expect from a comic book company.
Thank you for not calling me fat.
You're beautiful. And, you know, we're just like normal small guys. Like Arun is the reason he wasn't going to come tonight because he's going to his kickboxing class or whatever the hell he's doing. You know, he's a pretty big dude. So I remember Cody Rhodes like being astonished by the fact that we actually had like someone who was in decent shape working for Marvel that we were all supposed to be tiny. So he was like, it was like a mutual admiration society when they were hanging out in San Diego, because they did an interview with us at San Diego Comic Con. But, yeah.
Arun got paper bagged.
Yeah, and Arun insisted he put a paper bag on his head. It was fantastic. And it was actually, they were doing it on camera, and I was just walking in. I was off doing something else, and I walked in and saw that they were doing the interview on our stage. And I was hanging back with the WWE guys just watching the interview, and Cody starts getting mad at Arun during the interview. I know he's about to bag him. No one else knows what's going on because they're all just watching, like, who's this guy in this plastic mask? But I'm like, you know, I can see where this is going. And I notice that the camera guy has got the bag and he's like way far back. So I grab the bag from him because Cody goes to go like, somebody hand me a bag. So I made sure I was right there. Hand the bag so he could bag Arun.
Oh my goodness. That's so awesome.
Yeah. But yeah, so many WWE guys who are comics fans, so many Marvel guys who are wrestling fans. I mean, CM Punk and Ed Brubeck are like best friends now.
Yeah,
I know.
No,
right?
Seriously. Well, it's funny. When I went to go interview Punk, He couldn't stop talking about Brubaker's work, loves Jason Aaron. I don't understand how more people are not reading these books because they're so awesome. And just has a total crush on those guys. But yeah. it's funny. I mean, you see them sort of banter back and forth on Twitter all the time, and it's just so cool to see because, you know, here's, you know, CM Punk, who is, you know, followed by however many people he's followed, and he's, you know, just this huge personality, and, you know, he's chatting with, you know, one of the biggest personalities in our industry, and it's just cool to see that synergy.
Yeah, it's fun when you go to a show like San Diego, where, you know, both elements are intact, because there's always a lot of wrestling guys who appear in San Diego, and you just see how much overlap there is and how much these guys interact, and, you know, they love hanging out with comics people, and comics people love hanging out with them, and James and I get to reap the benefits.
Yeah,
we get to go to shows and call up our guys. Finding out this connection was, like, one of the greatest things to ever happen to our careers.
It's pretty great, and for guys like me who read the stuff and who watch the shows, you know, it's just, man, this is awesome, because who would have thought? You know, it's not something you think about really until next thing you know, you just run an article with an interview with Punk or whatever. So yeah, it's pretty great, and you know, do any of them ever approach you guys about like about maybe writing or drawing something? I don't know. Some of those guys may probably have ambitions for that when they were younger.
Well, there was something going on when word got out that Jill Thompson, did Daniel Bryan's ring gear and stuff like that. And this probably was like right before the new year and like just before everyone sort of was away for the holidays. Someone randomly had tweeted at Jill Thompson asking if...
Oh, I know that guy. He did the thing. Like my buddy, he's my buddy Scott Ziolko. He does some webcomic stuff, and he's also a wrestling fan. And he tweeted at Jill and then Punk.
Yeah, and just Punk got looped in, and it caught the eye of Axel. Mm-hmm. And Axel, you know, essentially said, let me know, let's make it happen. And, you know, whether or not will it happen, who knows? But it would totally be awesome.
Yeah, that would be like kind of like, you know, the payoff to all this buildup of, you know, comics and wrestling people getting together. Next thing you know, it's going to end with Arun wrestling a match.
That's his dream.
That's his dream.
He has pitched... Well, he's pitched to, we were out to lunch with Craig Tello from WWE a few weeks ago, just talking about stuff. And also my boss, John Cirilli, me and Ryan's boss, John Cirilli, used to work at WWE. So there's a connection there too. But we were out to lunch, and the room was pitching some asinine idea about me and him, like, getting to wrestle a match. I think, James, you're probably going to get roped into it, too.
Yeah, Arun's dream is to, one, let him give me an RKO.
Right.
Every time something of him wrestling is mentioned, he goes, yeah, and I could totally RKO Viscardi, and it'll be awesome. Yeah.
Well, he always talks about it. He's like, oh yeah, we could do a tag team match, it'd be great. And it's always like, dude, you don't take into account the fact, like, you know, you're 200 some odd pounds or whatever, you could probably at least do something. I'm like, I'm under 150 pounds. I'm like, what am I going to do other than jump off the top rope and get caught by somebody? Like, no. But, you know, the other thing which just made me think of when you're telling the whole deal with CM Punk and that, was Daniels claims to this day, Christopher Daniels claims to this day that, because he wants to write comics badly, and he insisted someday when his career is over, he wants to give it a real shot. But he said he came up with this idea, and for months he's like, oh, I have this great idea, I have this great idea. Next time I see him, I'm going to tell you all about it. It's going to be a great comic. And then I get a call from him freaking out. He goes, dude, did you read that Taskmaster book by Fred Van Lente? And I go, yeah, yeah, I read the first issue. And he goes, that's my idea. And he goes, yeah, the idea, you know, it came to me because you know how I have a terrible memory. I go, yes. And he goes, you know, because I get knocked in the head so much. I go, yeah, yeah, go on with it. And he's like, you know, he's like, I had this idea for a superhero who can't remember, who has no short-term memory, who can't remember anything. You know, every mission is a completely new mission for him. It's exactly what Van Lente's doing. He stole it from me somehow. And I'm like, yeah, man, I don't know. And then the next time he came in to the office, Lauren was editing the book, and he Eddie he saw it on her wall because he would just go office to office and look at the different art on the walls and stuff. He saw her on her wall. Just like, oh, my God, this was my idea. So he insists to this day the Taskmaster miniseries was his idea, and he hasn't been able to come up with another one since. That was his one idea, and Fred Van Lente stole it. I just texted him to tell him I was telling the story on a podcast, so hopefully I can get his reply.
All right. That's fantastic. Well, let's kind of jump into, you know, to the actual wrestling stuff. Before we get to the Royal Rumble, we'll get to the let's actually talk about the card first and talk about the go-home show. There aren't that many matches, because, you know, the Royal Rumble is – it takes up a lot of time to begin with anyway. But so far we have John Cena versus Kane. The triple threat steel cage match between Daniel Bryan, Big Show, and Mark Henry. And then there's CM Punk versus Dolph Ziggler with guest referee John Laurinaitis. Of course, the Royal Rumble itself. I don't know if they're going to be adding any more matches, but right now that's what they've got. And they've been building up for the last few weeks. Now, let's talk about this past Raw, which is the go-home show. What did you guys think of the show overall?
I never understood the name of the show, like why it's called the go-home show.
Because whenever they're about to end the match, because they basically go home. So this is kind of like that term. Like this is the last Raw before the main event, before that, you know, pay-per-view. So that's what they refer to as the go-home show. At least that's my understanding of it.
Shows what kind of wrestling fan I am.
You're a normal wrestling fan.
You're one of those marks. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, you're a mark.
Look, I only jump on the Cena bandwagon whenever it suits me. Okay,
it's true.
Okay, yeah, this is a terrible feud for Cena.
Initially when it started, I thought, all right, this could be interesting. I mean, you have to put Cena against someone, and you know, there essentially is no one on the board for Cena to go against. And I think, you know, the internet has just been waiting for a Cena heel turn. And I just think, you know, WWE is just screwing around with everyone by letting him sort of walk that tightrope of, will he lose it? Will he lose it? I mean, his angry face last night was classic.
Yeah, it's become my Twitter avatar. It's so great.
Yeah, I saw that. Pretty cool. Yeah, I mean, James is right. I liked it as a feud simply because John Cena has been around for so long. I mean, he's been around. He's been in WWE for a decade now. He's basically gone up against everybody, but he's never feuded with Kane. So I was kind of intrigued just to see them do the feud with Kane. Mm-hmm. I'm not so much into the whole, like, they almost got too clever with it. Uh-huh. Like, I think they could have obviously they just need something for him to do until he's ready to go up against The Rock at WrestleMania. I do like that they're addressing the fact that people boo him rather than just pretend it's not happening.
Those shirts are awesome.
Yeah, they're fantastic. Yeah. And, you know, I personally like John Cena. Not so much. The character can get a little weary when he's doing his whole, you know, nothing bothers me, I'm smiling at everything, everything rolls off my back. The character can get pretty annoying, but I think he's a lot better than people give him credit in the ring. I mean, he rarely has a bad pay-per-view match unless he's in there with, like, total slug. So, you know, I'm a big fan of that. But it's just been in the way the feud has unfolded, the way they've just made it a little too corny. Even the basic idea of Kane being like, all these fans hate you, like, why don't you just give it up and turn heel? You know, there's kind of a cool logic to that. Mm-hmm. And him just being like, you know, everyone hates you, just turn heel already. And John Cena, because they're obviously not going to have him turn heel, just being like in the core of his character, like, I don't care if people hate me. This is who I am. I'm standing up for, you know, what I believe in. And that's fine, because I think Cena's always going to be what he's going to be. He's going to be a baby face to the kids. He's going to be a heel to the adults. So him basically saying, like, it's him kind of giving the middle finger, saying, like, I'm not turning heel. Like, no matter how bad you guys want me to turn heel, I'm not going to turn heel. Mm-hmm. So I think the basics of the feud were cool. It's just been, number one, poor Zack Ryder has been just steamrolled by this feud. That's just, it's stuff like that. It's like, it was just Cena and Kane. If it was just Kane going turn heel and Cena going, I'm not going to turn heel. And then, okay, let's fight about it. that's, you know, the basis of a wrestling feud. You don't need to do this, like, direct-to-DVD horror movie with Zack Ryder as John Cena's helpless girlfriend, unable to change a tire on a car. It's just when you get to the precious execution of it, and it's the only way that'll turn around for me is if they put Ryder over Kane at WrestleMania. But, you know, that's jumping ahead. I think the very basic parts of the feud were cool when they started, like James said, but just as unfolded, it's been kind of tough to watch.
Well, I think, you know, as much as I love Zack Ryder, and, you know, I am all for this push that he got, I'm totally, totally for it. Like, I liked John Cena, you know, sort of being the guy, sort of grandstanding for Zack Ryder. I thought that was awesome. But you had, like, two things sort of happening at the same time, where Ryder was, you know, getting all these great matches, getting all these great promos, you know, with Cena, and then Kane comes back. Kane comes back as, you know, the Big Red Machine, the Big Red Monster, which, awesome, great. I totally love that he has the mask back. And you need to put Kane against John Cena, and then, but you get Zack Ryder, who's sort of stuck in the middle, and he essentially has been the weakest point of this feud, where, you know, there's the one Raw where Zack Ryder is being almost dragged into the bottom of the ring. I go, wait, isn't that where Hornswoggle lives? Like, I, you know, it's the whole, like, oh, I'm bringing him to hell. And I'm like, oh God. But, yeah. like I totally love Kane as a monster, as the Big Red Machine. And I think if Zack Ryder was taken out of this equation and the promos were more focused on listen to these people boo you, you know, sort of embrace it and have Kane just sort of come in and, you know, screw with Cena in whatever matches or whatever he was doing, then great. I think you have the foundation and or even, you know, sort of the buildup to a great match. But I think, you know, the weakest point of this thing is Zack Ryder, who we all have to believe now has a broken back.
No, they updated it today.
Oh, did they?
Well, yes. Yeah, since I was at home while you were at work, I was able to pay attention. They updated on WWE.com where they said that the announcers misspoke last night. They got improper information. He doesn't actually have a broken back. It was like a slip disc or something like that. Oh, I think it was a hernia. Yeah, it was a herniated disc, which should still, you know, be terrible, but at least it's not the utterly insane broken back. As I'm sitting watching the show, with my wife's doing work on her computer, and she's a nurse. And she's just like, really? He broke his back? He's going to be wrestling in the next, like, 10 years? Because that's probably an impossibility. I said, yeah, they'll just put tape around his ribs. Yeah. That's how you heal wrestling injuries. Yeah, no, I agree with James 100%. I think the straight ahead Kane versus Cena feud could have been good. I think involving Ryder in it for whatever reason just diverted it. Ryder should have been off doing his own thing, so it's too bad. But, you know, we still got the match on Sunday. I don't think it'll be terrible, but it's a shame.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you'll get your standard. Kane will do the clothesline off the top rope. He'll do, you know, get a bunch of his uppercut punches in. He'll do a tombstone. He'll do a choke slam, and Cena will do, you know, become Super Cena, and you know, sort of get it all like that. Like you know how the match is going to go.
Right.
But I think with this, you know how the match is going to go. But who was going to win? I think is still up in the air.
I don't think they'll do a clean finish because I think this feud doesn't make sense to end in a normal match.
Right.
So if I had a guess, I think they'll do some sort of no holds barred thing at Elimination Chamber.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know if the Rock gets involved there or something, but I think either Kane will win, or more likely it'll go to some sort of, you know, double disqualification, no contest type deal. And the feud will go on.
Yeah, I think it's going to be something like that. It's, I don't know. The thing about this is I've been hearing that, you know, the segments with this feud haven't been great for ratings. Like when they did that whole that whole bit where Zack Ryder gets the car thing, or yeah. the parking lot brawl or whatever you want to call it.
Well, it's funny because I heard that like people were saying like, oh, the segment with Zack Ryder trying to change the tire. didn't get high ratings, and they're blaming Zack Ryder for that. And I'm like, dude, you could have had Stone Cold Steve Austin not changing a tire and still without gangbusters.
But yeah, the end of that thing where they lost so many viewers, and I thought, you know, I think this may be time to kind of, you know, accelerate this feud and kind of just keep it between the two guys who are actually fighting each other, because putting Zack in it just kind of damages him, you know, in the long term. And, you know, doing this injury angle with him, it's not helping him. Right when he was, you know, getting some momentum, you know, it sucks for that guy because he's finally made it, you know.
Potentially, though, I mean, you know, Zack Ryder could come back with a bit of a mean streak in him where he can, you know, give Cena the cold shoulder and go straight for Swagger. And, you know, if maybe finally we'll get something good out of Jack Swagger, because if there's anyone who I think may be able to do it, it's Zack Ryder, of all people.
Go ahead.
If this injury sticks and he doesn't, you know, show up during the Rumble and is out for a couple weeks, then, you know, it gives us enough time to let the Rumble happen, let us forget a little bit about Zack Ryder, and let him come back in, you know, 2 or 3 weeks, go after Swagger, and let him sort of do. I mean, you could see it already starting, the whole cold shoulder to Cena thing, which, you know, doesn't not necessarily make Zack Ryder a heel, but sort of give more heat to Cena, and, you know, maybe we'll get a heel turn.
Yeah, I was gonna say I do think him getting injured right now could be. Or, you know, fake injured could be a good thing in the long run, because he can do the big comeback at the crucial moment. The only thing I would change is I don't think he'll end up going after Swagger. I think he'll end up going after Kane. But I think in the same way, it would be good to make him a more, you know, keep all the goofy elements that people like, but you could definitely give him, you know, the more killer instinct. You know, he was injured. He has to go after Kane. He's got to do it on his own, et cetera. But, you know, if Kane and Cena end up having a return match at Elimination Chamber and you can keep Zack Ryder out until then and he makes the big comeback in Elimination Chamber, because I think the one thing I hope does not happen is they do not somehow get the idea that they need to turn Zack Ryder heel. And, like, because there would be no point, because he can't feud with Cena for another 3 months, and he's not going to win a feud with Cena. So I just hope, you know, whether it's him coming back to feud with Kane, whether it's him coming back to go after Swagger for the US title, fine. But I think James is right. I think you give him a few weeks off, month off, and have him make a big comeback with a more aggressive streak. That could be the best thing for him at this point.
All right. So for the pay-per-view, since we kind of expanded on it already. So you're both guessing it's probably going to be a no contest, or what's your predictions?
Cena doesn't win is my prediction.
And that could mean a lot of things. How about you?
My gut says it will be a no contest, because I think the feud needs to go on, and I don't see Kane going over clean. So I think it'll be a no contest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if anything, Kane comes out looking like the winner or on top, but I don't think it'll be a clear, clean win.
That's a good point. I think the same way too. They need Cena to have something to do before WrestleMania, and you know, they'll probably carry this to the Elimination Chamber. Who knows? They might even actually have the blow off in the Elimination Chamber itself.
You know what I wish this match was? An Inferno match.
You never get enough Inferno matches.
You know, it's funny, and sort of segueing into like the sort of another match, the world title match with Daniel Bryan, Big Show, and Mark Henry. I mean, if that show's not last, I'm totally expecting the ring to break with this one. And so, you know, but, you know, my hope was either, you know, some sort of dramatic finish where, you know, I mean, Cena's been through the ring. He's been through the stage. He's been through a giant spotlight. I mean, I don't know how many more things Cena can go through, but I'm curious to see if Kane can come up with a way, or come up with something to put him through.
The only problem with the Inferno match is that you always know he's going to win ahead of time, because you just have to look at who's got like the extra wrapping on their bodysuit. John Cena's not going to lose an Inferno match, because he's not going to light his jorts on fire. Those things don't grow on trees, James.
So, okay, moving on to the other – I think this is my personal favorite out of the three matches announced so far, the heavyweight title match between Daniel Bryan, Big Show, and Mark Henry in a steel cage.
This one's going to be a total shit show.
I don't know, man. This is going to be fun. And just Daniel Bryan's been able to get good matches out of both, you know, Henry and Big Show. And Henry's injured too, which is pretty amazing that he's able to keep working the way he's been working. Go on.
No, I don't. I think you're right. I think Daniel Bryan's been able to get good matches out of both of them. But if you go with the character here that they're establishing, which I love, of heel Daniel Bryan in a triple threat, which makes the most sense for him. If there are in a steel cage, is he's got to stay out of the match as much as possible and just let them damage each other. So I think, you know, even though Mark Henry's injured, you're going to get more of a Big Show versus Mark Henry match, with Daniel Bryan just trying to stay out of the way, which isn't going to necessarily be a bad match because they've actually had some good matches recently. But I don't. Daniel Bryan is, you know, not to go on too much of a tangent here, but it's very interesting to me. He's very entertaining in this role, but I've also, it's always tough when you have a heel, particularly a heel champion who's that small. I mean, just calling a spade a spade. Because if you have a babyface champion, or if you have a babyface who's a little guy,
like Rey Mysterio,
or even like going back, X-Pac. I never got X-Pac as a heel, because the problem is, you know, if it's a little guy, you're rooting for him to kind of figure out a way to outsmart or out quick or do whatever against these giants. When you've got a heel champion who's a little guy, it's more difficult because you're supposed to believe that this guy who is too small to, you know, beat these guys legitimately finds ways out every week, which Daniel Bryan's been doing so far, and that's great. But it's tough to sustain that type of thing. It's like when X-Pac had his back in 2099 had that long feud with Kane, and X-Pac was the heel and Kane was the babyface. You were just supposed to somehow believe that this, you know, tiny heel was not getting killed by this 7-foot-tall, 300-pound baby face. It's just it's tough. It goes against it's counterintuitive to the traditional wrestling dynamic.
The thing with X-Pac though was this was sort of, I guess, Attitude Era, you know, late Attitude Era, but there was still a hardcore division, and so X-Pac was getting a lot of his wins with weapons. And so, you know, taking a lead pipe to Kane's knees, you know, just sort of gave him that edge. And Daniel Bryan can't do that. It's another thing that's sort of just sort of working against him in this monster thing, where I feel like we're getting something along the lines of back when Miz had the title and he was just sort of barely getting his wins and, you know, escaping sort of in whatever way he could. And I feel like we're sort of getting that with Daniel Bryan, but I feel like once he moves past the giants and is able to go against someone else, and who that someone else is, I have no idea. But it's just like Ben said, it's just not believable.
And it's just, and the thing that sucks too is he's so good at this character. Like from an entertainment speaking standpoint, I would much rather watch heel Daniel Bryan. And you know, he's great when he was on, when he was in ROH. I didn't watch ROH when he was a heel, but I hear that he was fantastic. Yeah. And the thing is, I think the thing that worked there was they really got over the fact that, hey, I'm a heel, I'm little, and he wasn't that much smaller than the other guys in ROH, but even so, you can do the, I'm a heel, I'm a little, and I'm still good enough to beat you guys, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm that good of a wrestler, and that would get him over insanely, because people are like, He's such a chicken shit, but he's so good at the submission stuff. He's such a good wrestler. They just can't beat him. So it's like, even though the character of him trying to weasel his way out of stuff is entertaining, the problem is you look where he goes from here. I do think he's going to retain the title. I think they see that the character's getting over, but it's just kind of the problem is, you know, the field from here is he goes up against Sheamus. It's the same thing. You know, Sheamus isn't huge, but he's big enough. Randy Orton even is fairly big. You know, they're bigger guys. There's not really a lot of smaller baby faces for him to feud with. So I do think that
unless Christian comes back.
True. Yeah, well, then they have to turn Christian. I was worried about the same thing with Christian when he turned heel, because he's a smaller guy. And, you know, they did kind of do that thing where it seems like there's just this desire, whether it's Miz, whether it's Christian, whether it's Daniel Bryan, to do these smaller, or even Alberto Del Rio to some extent. It's like, if you're a heel champion and you're not as big as Mark Henry, you're going to just, you know, cheat outrageously and kind of find your way out of every match, which, you know, works to an extent, and you want to see the babyface get over at some point. But it's also like, you know, it just strains. How long can his title reign really be if every week he's barely winning, you know? Yeah. So I don't know. It's strange to me because I'm criticizing this so wildly, and yet I love every segment they're doing with Daniel Bryan. So, you know, credit to him and credit, frankly, to Big Show and Mark Henry that I'm still entertained by this match. But I think, you know, the match on Sunday will be him skating away with another win. And I will see if he carries it all the way to WrestleMania. I don't know if he gets over enough that people are going to want to see Orton or Sheamus or someone beat him for the title at WrestleMania, or if he just loses it in the shuffle at Elimination Chamber next month.
I really hope he doesn't lose it in the chamber. It'd be cool to see him bring the title to Mania, and I don't mind. I mean, eventually he's going to lose it. I mean, that's a given. But you know, I wouldn't mind seeing him lose it at Mania against someone like, I don't know, Orton. I think he and Orton can put a good match together. I think that'd be fun.
Absolutely.
But I think he, you know, I don't know if this will be the finale to his feud with the two big guys. But I think, I imagine that he'll be defending the title at the chamber. And he'll find a way to weasel his way out of that, too, and surviving with the title, is what I'm thinking. So with all this going on, I think this match is going to be, you know, yeah, like you guys mentioned, it's going to be the two big guys fighting, and he's going to be kind of, you know, biding his time and waiting, taking his, you know, getting his licks in whenever he can. And then whenever the two guys are locked up or something, he's going to try and flee and get over the cage.
Or yeah, at some point, I think they'll knock each other out, and he'll get out of a good win. And, you know, for all the holes you can poke in the booking, it's like, if we still get good Daniel Bryan matches and interviews and he's carrying these guys to good matches every week, I can't really complain. I mean, I am pretty happy with him as champion. And I think probably, you know, I don't know if he would, we'll never know, but I don't know if he would have worked as well as a babyface champion. So I'm intrigued to see where it goes.
Do you guys think the whole AJ thing is going to play a role in this particular match, or maybe down the road?
Down the road, I don't think she'll be back in time for Royal Rumble. I mean, she got clocked. I thought that was an interesting way to go. And I thought it gave legs to the character. I mean, he was really able to do gold. It really gets him over as an even bigger dick. So, and it was cool the way that, you know, I loved watching Daniel Bryan work that, where he was initially kind of shocked and like, oh my God, I can't believe this happened. You can almost see, and this is how good he is, you can see the wheels kind of turning. It's like, oh, this was my way to get out of it. I can go make Big Show feel bad about this. And, you know, it was kind of cool. I think I don't think she'll be back on Sunday, but I think she will play some sort of role in his undoing ultimately. When he does lose the title, I think, you know, AJ will probably, you know, also slap him in the face or something, mm-hmm. as these things tend to go.
Yeah. So I'm guessing it's fairly unanimous that he's going to come home with the title at the end of this.
How much more can we get of a Mark Henry champ or a Big Show champ? I mean, I think, you know.
And also, let's not forget that they're both injured. So I think this may be a good way to kind of end this whole thing for now until they get better.
Show injured too?
Show got injured, apparently. He got hurt
during a house show.
Yeah.
Oh.
Or a dark match or something.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there was a time, you know, low a month and a half ago, mm-hmm. where I was kind of hoping Mark Henry would carry the title into WrestleMania, mm-hmm. just because I thought he was a great heel champion. It would have been cool to see him have like a 6 or 7 month long title reign and then someone have to knock him off. Mm-hmm. So there's part of me that I'm like, it's too bad. It's too bad he got cut short. But as it is, I like it when heels go into WrestleMania with the titles, because I think WrestleMania should be about, you know, heel champions getting their comeuppance. And, you know, now with two belts, it's different. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I would like to see Daniel Bryan make it all the way. And I do think he'll at the very least make it out of Royal Rumble. Talk to me again in a month, Elimination Chamber, and we'll see how he's doing. But I think he'll make it out of this one.
I mean, is there an over-under on whether or not we'll see Big Show or Mark Henry do something from the top of the cage?
I doubt it.
I don't know, man. Big Show did that top. Didn't he? He did a top rope move at Survivor Series, didn't he?
Yeah, that's why I'm saying. I mean, if there's one way to end the show in a bang with a broken ring, that's how you do it.
Yeah, but I don't know if they could do a broken ring during the Royal Rumble.
That would be great if they did this before the Rumble and broke the ring, and then they had to do a Royal Rumble in the broken ring.
That's an intriguing prospect. I don't know if they could do it, but I remember the last time they did that when was it Del Rio and Punk, or was it Del Rio and Cena? But they wrestled on the broken ring, and they made pretty good. They did a pretty good job, you know.
I remember back in one of the ECW pay-per-views back in the day when Taz and Bam Bam Bigelow went through the ring. Because it was ECW, you know, they didn't have time to really repair the ring, so they just put, like, caution tape up around it. This giant hole in the middle of the ring. Al Snow and Lance Storm were against Shane Douglas and Chris Candido in the main event, and they just literally had to wrestle around the hole. That was awesome. I hope they do that again. I hope they do an entire Royal Rumble with a giant hole in the middle of the ring. And Santino falls in it and then comes back up at the end.
Santino. Moving on to the next match. Punk versus Ziggler with special guest referee John Laurinaitis. Punk has been really good with the promos leading up to this. I thought in the go-home show, I thought it was really good, but I thought maybe they should have saved the GTS on Laurinaitis. What do you guys think on that? They should save that for the Rumble, maybe?
I expected Laurinaitis to get fired when that fax came in. Mm-hmm. And the total FU would have been Mick Foley saying, "Oh, I got your job, sucker." Mm-hmm. And, you know, it would have been either a second special guest enforcer or, you know, essentially would have said or something to keep Laurinaitis sort of still in the mix. And then, you know, when you got sort of the showdown between Laurinaitis and Punk and you got the go to sleep. If that's what we got on Raw, then hopefully something worse will come for him at the Rumble. I mean, that's what Laurinaitis may get, you know, a few good shots in on Punk, and then, you know, Punk goes nuts and gets even better shots in. But yeah, I think you needed to sort of put the exclamation point on that show, and I think that was a good one to put it on.
I mean, I think eventually, I don't think Punk Laurinaitis is going to end at the Rumble. I think in trying to recreate this Austin McMahon angle, they certainly are not going to do that. I don't think anyone's going to create the Austin McMahon angle, but I think this feud is working out better than most people thought it would. I think it's getting Punk over. I think John Laurinaitis is surprisingly good in this role because, you know, when he first started doing promos, like, back in the summer, it was tough to watch. But he's gotten, you know.
Just want to remind you, I'm John Laurinaitis, Executive Vice President of Talent Relations. Just want to remind you.
And the interim general manager.
And the interim general manager of Raw.
I mean, he gets it. He gets people hate about him. He's in on the joke. And as a result, he's been doing a really good job. He's good about letting Punk just absolutely tear him apart, which is fantastic. When they did the Slammies and they had the video of his career to touch, that's probably one of the high points of my wrestling fan watching days ever. That video is just fantastic. But I think eventually they will, before WrestleMania, do a Punk Laurinaitis match. So I think there's more to come. And the other thing, as James said, you know, he did the go to sleep on him. I can see what you're saying to an extent, Pat. I don't think he needed to do the go to sleep, but it did. it did work in a sense because it put the heat back on Ziggler. It let Ziggler be the one standing tall at the end of the show. I mean, there's no way he's winning the title, but at least made it look legitimate that he's going to. Number one, they're going to have a fantastic match because they're two of the best workers in the company. So they're going to have a great match. Punk's going to probably, you know, get through by the skin of his teeth, have to overcome Laurinaitis and all this. But it did a good job of shifting the focus back to them, being like, you know, John Laurinaitis got his ass kicked, but Ziggler still came in. He was the one standing tall at the end of the show. So I get what they're doing. And I do think they'll eventually do a Punk Laurinaitis match. And we haven't seen him in the Anaconda Vice yet, so there is still something to be, you know, given away, I guess. So I don't know. I'm happy with the whole feud. I'm happy with the. I think Ziggler kind of has a history of being the guy who gets title shots when he's not really the center of the story. Going back to, it was kind of an Edge Vicky Guerrero feud last year where he got his world title shot. I think Ziggler just, you know, kind of ends up being the guy who's right place, right time. The guys who get the title shots at Royal Rumble, it's always interesting because it's usually the guys who, you know, they're not going to be in the WrestleMania main event, at least in recent years. It's a guy who's not going to be in the WrestleMania main event, but, you know, we trust you enough to give you a world title shot at Royal Rumble. We're kind of working you out. So I think, you know, it's cool to see Ziggler in that spot. I think they'll have a good match. I think Punk will win and move on to the next thing, which will still involve Laurinaitis and may involve him right up to WrestleMania. He may, you know, pick another guy and send him after Punk, someone who's more of a legitimate threat, which I'm sure we'll get to shortly when we're talking about the Rumble.
Yeah. I think though that I don't know. They have, you know, the performance evaluation coming up on Raw with Triple H, and I have a feeling that I don't know. Do you guys think Laurinaitis will keep his role, or, you know, it has a possibility because of, you know, Triple H has had issues with Laurinaitis when last time we saw him. So I imagine that something may happen that could affect his standing as far as being the interim GM.
Well, I have to forgive my ignorance for a second, but Laurinaitis, was he working back? Like, is he legit have a role backstage before becoming the GM? Or
He really is the executive, you know, vice president of talent relations.
Okay.
He was like back in the early 2000s, or like late 90s, early 2000s. What he said on Raw was legit when he said he took Jim Ross's job. Mm-hmm. Jim Ross was kind of in charge of like recruiting guys. Like, Jim Ross was the guy who found Batista and John Cena and Randy Orton and, like, recruited them. And then he got eased out when WWE bought WCW because John Laurinaitis was working at WCW. He basically came in and took over JR's job, like, around 2002. So he's been the guy who's been doing that. And I think I saw someone write online, ironically, like, the biggest star he's produced or that has been produced under his tenure is CM Punk. He's got a legitimate role backstage. It's interesting though, until James said it, I didn't think of how perfect it would be if they do make Foley the GM. That makes so much sense. And that would be, you know, a lot of fun, but
yeah,
I think Laurinaitis is still going to have a role somehow. I don't know how they're going to pull that off. I don't know whether it's going to be, you know, they might bring Vince McMahon back and Vince McMahon might overrule Triple H or something like that. I don't know how it's going to happen, which I kind of like. Mm-hmm. But I do think he will still be around to some extent following Raw.
I was sort of hoping that he would become in more of a manager role where he would still have his role as talent relations, and he would bring in people to throw against Punk. Look, you've got what, Tyler, you still have Tyler Black and whatever he's going by in FCW.
Seth Rollins,
and
I think.
Right, and Claudio Castagnoli, who, whatever, he's going by
Antonio
FCW.
Antonio Cesaro.
Because I'm ignorant and don't care. Yeah. Those could be awesome ways to break these guys in by Laurinaitis in that manager role saying, you know, all right, I'm going to keep doing my job, and boom, I'm going to throw these people at you.
That could even be if they get rid of him at some point before WrestleMania, because I don't think they're not going to have like a CM Punk, Tyler Black, Claudio Castagnoli three-way topping WrestleMania. but it would be kind of interesting if, you know, maybe Jordan Laurinaitis gets fired from his GM job next week, and then stays around to feud with Punk for a little bit, has a match with Punk, gets the crap kicked out of him, goes away for a few months. Maybe his thing is after WrestleMania, he comes back, and that's when he starts bringing up guy, because that's a cool idea. Of course, it would be, you know,
which WWE. Means it would never happen.
Yeah, exactly. And also, WWE would never refer to this on air, but how cool would it be if he was like, you know, he's bringing up all old ROH guys to screw
him. And that's it. I mean, you know, look at the, you know, I mean, yeah, you see reports online, you know, sort of disputing the fact, but I mean, look at the success that they're having, you know, with these ROH guys. I mean, I was at Daniel Bryan's last ROH match. Like, he legitimately, him and Nigel McGuinness fell into my lap because it was, you know, one of those awesome shows at the Hammerstein.
That was after the show.
Was it after the show?
I just remember they fell into your lap at the bar afterwards.
Oh. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, no, I mean, it would be an awesome way to sort of bring in those guys, you know, sort of from FCW or you know, try out new guys. You know, it to some extent, he did sort of do something like that with Brodus Clay. I mean, he kept saying, oh, you know, I'm bringing this guy in, I'm bringing this guy in. And, you know, all whatever backstage reasons happened aside, but that, you know, it could be another person that Laurinaitis, you know, throws at Punk. And, you know, it's someone who's already, you know, on the scene and, you know, in squash matches left and right. But it would be interesting. And then you can give the GM role to someone like Foley, who, you know, could, who is, you know, a face GM, and which is something that, you know, we haven't had in a while. You know,
Teddy Long begs to differ, James.
Wait a minute, player.
A face GM on Raw. You know, I'm all for starting the petition to bring Mike Adamly back.
Teddy Long's been a face GM for like the last 20 years on SmackDown.
God, do you guys remember him? You remember him as a referee?
Yeah.
I remember when he was managing Doom.
Yes.
I remember he was the godfather of WCW.
Oh, man.
Used to wear a do-rag and managed Ice Train and Jim Powers.
Oh, God, Jim Powers.
Those were the glory days of WCW. I remember they, you know, not to get too obscure, back in like 1996 WCW, they were doing an angle where Chris Jericho had just come into WCW. And Teddy Long had like a whole stable of jobbers, you know, managing like Ice Train. He was managing Craig Pitbull Pittman, Jim Powers, and like there was this whole thing where he would come out on the ramp and be scouting Chris Jericho's matches because he wanted to recruit him. And even as like, you know, 14-year-old kid, I'm there. I'm like, man, why would you want to be recruited by the manager whose guys lose it every week? Like, the worst possible thing that would happen to you. But that's neither here nor there. I don't know what would have happened to Chris Jericho's career if he'd been managed by the godfather of WCW.
Oh, man.
Good times.
Oh, man. Seriously. just thinking back on Jim Powers, man. That guy. Remember when he was a tag team with Paul Roma?
Yeah, the Young Stallions.
Stallions, man.
That was a great tag team name.
Yeah,
we're just gonna end the podcast there, listeners. So hope you enjoyed that. We're ending it on Teddy Long,
Jim Powell winning the Royal Rumble. Good night.
Wait a minute, player. Let's turn this into a tag team match. All right. Yeah. So I'm assuming we're all guessing Punk's gonna win this one.
Yeah,
makes perfect.
He's got to.
Yeah, he has to. He has to carry this. I think he's going to carry the belt to Mania, and we'll see. I don't know. Do you think I'm thinking maybe he might lose it at the Chamber and get his rematch at Mania. But I don't know. I think having him carry it all the way through would be better for the title and maybe for him too. So
I think he'll go into Mania as champion because I think they're going to have a heel champion on SmackDown. So I think they're going to have a babyface champion on Raw. That's just my gut.
Okay, that's a good. That's a good way to think. Now let's get right to the Rumble. Now, the Rumble. I don't know who the participants are because they haven't brought it up.
I really don't want the Miz to win.
I don't think he has anything to
work. I don't think he's going to win. Not the way they've been booking him. But then again, you never know.
Really, but even that the whole big deal they made of giving him the number one spot.
But they didn't give him the number 27 spot, James, which, if you watch...
That's true, according to the numbers.
You need to be number 27 to win. I like that they also, they always make a big deal of how, like, only two guys have won from number one. Mm-hmm. Of course, they can't say one of their names on the air. but they also don't, I think, like just as few guys have won from number 30. I think only Cena and Undertaker won from number 30.
Yeah, I believe so. They
there's got really... there's got to be a Triple H win in there. Hasn't he won like the Rumble like 12 times?
Triple H, is only, he's only won once.
Oh, really?
In 2002, yeah. When he just came back from his quad injury.
Yeah, oh, right. And the only person who's won it more than twice is Steve Austin, who won three times.
Austin's won it three times. Shawn Michaels won it twice. Hulk Hogan won it twice. Those are the only guys.
That promo was pretty cool.
They do it every year, and it's always awesome because they update it just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's very cool, but yeah, I always loved it because I think the first time someone from number 31 was when Undertaker did it in like 2007. Mm-hmm. So at that point, there had been like almost 20 years of Royal Rumbles, and I always loved how they would hype up the oh, this guy's got number 30, he's so lucky. And I'm like, no one from 30 ever wins. Like, I remember when I saw one Royal Rumble live at the Boston Garden. I saw the 2003 one that Brock Lesnar won, and Undertaker was number 30. And I was like, there's no chance he's winning this match. That final four was Biker Undertaker.
Oh, American Sid, Badass.
Yeah. Last Days of Wearing the Mask, Kane. Not Over Yet, Batista. And Brock Lesnar. And I was like, who is going to win this match between these four guys? Three of whom should not be here.
Was Batista the deacon back then? Or was he just plain old Batista at that point?
Just post-deacon. They just started Evolution. Uh-huh. Like, he was still just kind of the muscle head in Evolution. Like, no one really cared about him or Orton at that point. They were just Triple H's henchmen. Mm-hmm. That was an awesome. That was a fun Rumble to see live, but there was stuff that I missed because that was number one. It was it started out with Jericho and Michaels were 1 and 2.
Oh wow!
And they had announced beforehand that they were going to be 1 and 2, mm-hmm. But the way they did it was Michaels was number one, then number two was supposed to be Jericho. But it was actually Christian posing as Jericho in the entranceway. And Jericho ran out of the crowd and threw Michaels over the top rope and eliminated him. And it was cool as hell. But I was like, you know, in the cheap seats at the Boston Garden with no announcers. So I'm just like, what the fuck is going on? I'm just seeing like,
what just happened?
I'm like, who the hell is that? So as you should, the only thing I remember also that was, that was the Royal Rumble where Matt Hardy was version one.
Oh, shit.
Shane Moore was with him. And Shane Moore wasn't in the Rumble, but he came out and just... They kept doing these awesome ways where Shane Moore would stop Matt Hardy from being eliminated. Like, someone would throw him over the top rope, and then Shane Moore would literally, like, get on all fours right where he was about to fall down so Matt Hardy could land on him and get back in the ring. Or, like... Oh, God, they did so many cool spots. And that was also the Rumble where Triple H wrestled Scott Steiner in Scott's match. Mm-hmm. And it was the worst match I've ever seen. And Boston just completely turned on Scott Steiner, who's supposed to be the babyface. Mm-hmm. Scott Steiner did about 25 overhead belly-to-belly suplexes because he couldn't do anything else. And the saving grace of the whole match came when Ric Flair, who was managing Triple H, got up on the apron. And Scott Steiner punched him, and Triple H sold it like he had just been shot by a rifle at point blank. Like, just started going into convulsions and just collapsing to the ground.
And it was at that moment you saw Scott Steiner's career just go straight to the shitter.
It was rough. It was hard to watch. Everyone around him just booing.
Yeah.
It's funny. I'm so glad that match happened and sort of sticks out sort of as a sore thumb Rumble match, because it totally takes that spotlight away from the Hardcore Holly Brock Lesnar title match from 2004.
They didn't have a bad match. It was just the fact that
It was Brock Lesnar and Hardcore Holly. I needed to get my Hardcore Holly mention in, and I was glad I was able to find a great place. So there we go. I wish he would come back. I miss you.
Yeah. Man, remember when he was tag teaming with Cody Rhodes?
Yeah, remember when he was beating people up because they got speeding tickets with his rental car? Like, legitimately? I think it was, who was it? It was Rene Dupree. And, like, he apparently was in a tag team match with him at a house show. And he, Hardcore Holly, like, just sort of, in the middle of the match, just turned on Rene Dupree and started beating the crap out of him because you found out later that Rene Dupree got a speeding ticket in Hardcore Holly's rental car. Oh. It was like, that's the kind of awesome dude Hardcore Holly was.
I just remember when he was on Tough Enough and beat the crap out of the kid who eventually won.
Yeah.
When the year that John Morrison and the other guy... who unfortunately ended up getting cancer when he was in OVW, but Bob Holly just beat the hell out of this kid, and he like kept coming back. He like had by the end of the show, he looked terrible. He had like a black eye and a like you're just like, oh man, I hope God. This guy wins Tough Enough because there's no way that was worth it.
He was so awesome.
That's one way of putting it.
But it's funny. It's like moments like that. Like the Royal Rumble has just sort of like. Because it's the Royal Rumble has a way sort of like WrestleMania in sort of where bad matches or bad participants really stand out. Like, remember Maven?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Like,
he will forever have a spot in that Royal Rumble highlight reel for eliminating the Undertaker. And
to this day, he was never eliminated.
Yeah.
The Undertaker came back and threw him out.
Mm-hmm. And it's just like Maven has a place now is sort of in you know, not only winning Tough Enough One, which whatever, you know, yeah, but
this is more important than that.
But just like, you know, eliminating the Undertaker in the Royal Rumble. Where is that guy now? Is he still a teacher? Like, who knows?
He was on Home Shopping. He was on QVC for a while.
God, was he really?
Host on QVC. But I liked that. It was because I think that was the 2002 Rumble. So the Rumble I was at was he came out and tried to do it again. Like it came down to Maven gave the Undertaker another drop kick, and then turned around and started celebrating, not realizing he had not eliminated the Undertaker. And then the Undertaker just went like you know threw him like 8 feet over the top rope. But yeah, you're right. It's just like the Royal Rumble. Everyone always loves the Royal Rumble because of the Royal Rumble match. And that's kind of cool thing is it doesn't really matter if that's what I'm saying. Like when I say they can stick a guy out there. Like I remember they had like a Mr. Kennedy Batista match 1 year and no one bought that Mr. Kennedy was going to win the title.
Of course
it doesn't matter because it's the Royal Rumble and it doesn't matter who's in the title matches. Cause you're ordering it to see the Royal Rumble. So that's why right. They can really kind of test. They can, you know, They can put whoever they want in those matches. I remember they closed the show with a Kurt Angle Mark Henry match 1 year. That was insane. But it didn't matter because you just want to see the Rumble match. So,
man, I miss Kurt Angle.
Yeah, I'm
he's still around, James.
He's not.
Okay.
He's not. He's, I don't know. I watch him on TNA. It feels like he's just not there anymore. I mean, he's still ever as intense as he used to be, but it feels like his brain's not there anymore. You know,
the guy's training for the Olympics, Pat. Come
yeah,
on,
well, yeah.
Training for the Olympics, and he's telling everyone about it.
I'll be rooting the hell out of it for if he gets to the Olympics.
Oh yeah, if he makes it, oh totally.
I'm with you guys there. He's always been awesome and. He had such a great character in the WWE. You know, he was able to switch. He could be a really menacing heel and yet be very funny at the same time. Yeah. You know, and be goofy as hell. And not many people can pull that off and feel legit. You know what I mean?
Even by the end of his WWE run, though, he was kind of starting to lose that. Like he could really only do the intense thing because he was going legitimately insane in real life.
Seriously, he legitimately turned into Ken Shamrock.
Yeah.
Oh man, that reminds me of. I remember when I was working in McDonald's, like over about 12 years ago or so. Ken Shamrock came there one morning, and it was right after we stopped serving breakfast.
No
breakfast! I don't want to eat lunch here! And then he walks out.
Give Ken Shamrock his goddamn Egg McMuffin.
I was worried he might suplex somebody or something. So I'm just like, okay, I'm going to run to the back.
That's great. I don't care if it's 11:15 a.m. You give that man his McGriddle.
Oh, yeah. So, they haven't announced everyone who's going to be participating, but we know of a few. Of course, Wade Barrett, Sheamus, Mick Foley, Jinder Mahal is apparently participating.
Look, every Rumble needs a villain, and there you go. Jinder Mahal.
Santino. Actually, you have a good villain in Wade Barrett already, actually. He has been fantastic, and I can't help but – I kind of want him to win.
He was one of my early picks. Yeah. I think whether he wins the Rumble or not, I could see him getting into a WrestleMania main event.
Yeah, I think this is going to elevate him. Though right now my money is on Jericho.
Yeah.
After that promo on Monday, and I think the rumor is he's going to be taking on Punk at Mania. So
he's gonna bring back Lita. She's the girl in the promo videos.
Oh man!
Go ahead. Okay. Jericho really wasn't on my radar as the guy who I thought would win until, like you said last night, with his promo. But also just because I was like, you know what? They built this thing with him up so much. Mm-hmm. That it would be, I don't see him being eliminated.
Here's the thing. Jericho can still start a feud with Punk that will lead to WrestleMania.
Yeah,
just based on the whole best in the world shtick. Mm-hmm. Whoever wins the Rumble, either and if this person is someone who decides to go after Punk. I bet you will end up in a we'll probably end up in a triple threat match with Jericho in that picture.
Right. I mean, yeah, like I said though, it's not even so much that I see Jericho winning, it's that I can't see Jericho losing. Yeah. With all the investment they've given to, you know, to the videos, to him not talking until Monday, to him just seeming so untouchable. And, you know, they totally would do this because this is what they always do. But it seems strange to get him to this point and then, like, you know, Sheamus throws him out on Sunday. And then it's kind of like, all right, well, what was all that for? It was a big build for nothing. So I think Jericho has a good – I think he has a really good shot. Although, you know what's here's an interesting point that I just noticed watching the By the Numbers promo. I don't know if they brought this up before or not, is – they said that they almost kind of slipped in that line about how this is the first Royal Rumble where any superstar is eligible to participate. Mm-hmm. And they haven't really explained what that means, but I can only assume it means that if you're a world champion, you can enter the Royal Rumble. Mm-hmm. And you can somehow win and like block people from challenging you for WrestleMania. I don't know why. That just jumped to me.
That would make a lot of sense, and I think that would be a lot of fun too. It will definitely lead up to, you know, to some interesting booking leading up to the Elimination Chamber,
right?
Or something, you know. They might turn it into like, you know, the last few guys from that brand. You know, we'll get to fight in the chamber to see who can take the champion on because he won the Rumble or something like that. You know,
I don't even know if so much that'll. I don't know if that guy will win, but just the fact that they took the time to word that into the promo, mm-hmm, makes me feel like one or both of the champions will end up entering.
I missed the contender like matches that would lead up to the Royal Rumble where people would wrestle for spots.
Yeah.
In there. Which is
there's enough guys to do it anymore. Because you know the whole roster is going to be in the Rumble.
Yeah, right.
They have more than 30 people, though, in the roster.
You know, well, no, but they could do what they always do, where they bring people out of retirement for, yeah, you know, 2 minutes. Right? Like, Roddy Piper will be in the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, and Kevin Nash got the biggest pop in last year's Royal Rumble.
It's true. I mean, I'm sure there'll be surprise guys. But it's also like, it's, I don't know. The problem with doing that is those were fun, but it'd always be like the mid-card guys. Because, mm-hmm, you're not going to have, like, you know, that match they had with Miz and R-Truth wasn't going to be like, all right, well, the guy who doesn't win this is not in the Rumble, because, mm-hmm, obviously they're both going to be in the Rumble. It would be like a Superstars match with, you know, plus Paris against Michael McGillicuddy, and one of these guys isn't going to be in the Rumble. Well, guess what? The guy who wins is not going to win either. So,
well, that, you know what it is? William Regal wins the Rumble, goes after Daniel Bryan for one of the best matches ever.
That'd be amazing.
I would love to see that. That'd be so great. I still remember that match they had on Superstars a few weeks back was fantastic.
He mentioned that Daniel Bryan mentioned that on the in the interview I did with him. I asked him, you know, have there been any matches that stand out for you as you know, one you won't forget? And he goes, yeah, it actually happened just a week ago where I got to wrestle William Regal, which I thought was an interesting answer.
Yeah,
Regal's an awesome worker. It's just too bad that he never really. I don't think he really got a fair shake after he got in trouble. You know, after he had his health problems, early, you know, a couple of years back. I thought he was going strong after he won King of the Ring, and he was GM of Raw at the same time.
I think, unfortunately, you know, Regal, it's been a combination of he's had those problems, and also just that he probably came to he peaked in WWE about 5-10 years too late.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because if he had been there earlier, he would have been, you know, he would have been money.
Yeah. Well, it looks like Barrett's kind of fulfilling that role, though.
Oh, absolutely.
And he's like the way he carried himself last Monday when he was, you know, he did guest commentary. That dude comes across as a star, you know. And I hope he at least gets to, you know, throw a few people out in the match, and I don't know, make my final four. I think my vision of the final four is Jericho, Barrett. I think Sheamus is going to last. Till that point, and I'm trying to figure out who the fourth guy would be.
You're forgetting about Randy Orton.
Yeah, Orton, if he comes back.
I think Orton will be back, and Orton's another guy I could see winning it, if only because I could see them, I don't know, for some reason I just see this, I could see them carrying the Orton-Barrett feud into WrestleMania and making Daniel Bryan the third element of that. Mm-hmm. Like, I could see an Orton-Barrett-Bryan triple threat at Mania. Because for some reason, I just don't feel like they're going to let Daniel Bryan have a one-on-one main event in WrestleMania, yeah. Which is a shame. I just don't think they believe in him that much, star power-wise. But I could see them putting him and another heel in there with Orton, mm-hmm. and I could see Orton winning the Royal Rumble to get that. Or I could see Barrett winning the Royal Rumble to get that, and the other one gets their spot next month in Elimination Chamber somehow. But if I had to pick a Final Four, I think it'll end up being... I think that would be my final four. Would be Jericho, Orton, Barrett, and Sheamus.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, just almost as important, not almost as important, just another element of who's going to win. Mm-hmm. There's also always that one guy, whether it's, you know, Kane in 2001 or Rikishi in 2000 or Diesel way back in the day. There's that one guy who doesn't win but eliminates like 10 guys, mm-hmm. and ends up getting super over. I know they're going to have, like, I don't know if that's going to be Sheamus this year.
I think it's Sheamus just because of the way they've been booking him for the last few weeks. So
it's totally going to be Simon Dean.
No, or Heath Slater.
Oh god,
could be Brodus Clay.
That's a good way to, you know, to kind of show that you're not just he's not just a guy that, you know, a squash guy. You know,
somebody calls mama.
Funny thing about. But yeah, you had to. But when you brought up Heath Slater, all I could think of was Ryan, who I know you had on here a few weeks ago. Uh-huh. Just got WWE 12, and that's like how he's been slowly getting back into wrestling, just because he's playing the game, uh-huh. and like wants to know who all these guys are because he hasn't watched in a few years. He keeps asking me. But the funny thing he would keep telling me is, you know, he's playing WWE Universe mode, and for some reason, no matter what he does, it just keeps booking him in matches against Heath Slater. So he doesn't know who half the guys in WWE are right now, but he knows who Heath Slater is.
The one-man Southern Rock Band.
Yeah, the one-man Southern Rock Band is like, you know. he's going out quick, also, by the way.
Yeah. You know what, though? That guy sells really good. That's why I like him.
Yeah. He sold for Hornswoggle.
Oh, yeah, that poor guy. Yeah. He deserves better than that. All right, well... So who is okay? We have our final four, but you know, who do you think is going to go over in the end? I think my pick is Jericho.
My pick is Jericho. Mm-hmm.
I've had to sit through combined probably an hour of nothing. If Jericho doesn't win, that's it. I'm done.
All right. right, well,
I would say Jericho with an outside of either Orton or Barrett, just to make things interesting. But yeah, Jericho would be my official pick. And you know, it's almost too bad because a few months ago I thought Sheamus would win, and Sheamus is so over right now as a babyface. Yeah. But the thing that's kind of sad that I can see coming is I don't know how he's not going to get lost in the shuffle going into WrestleMania, because I don't think it'll be an either title match. I, at one point this year, thought maybe he could be the guy who they put in there with Undertaker, because that would be kind of cool, just putting, like, a young guy in there with Undertaker and, you know, doesn't have to win. Just getting in that match would be great, but it seems like they're going to go with Triple H again for that. And, I don't know, I feel like they're just going to end up, I feel like Sheamus is just going to end up, like, fighting Mark Henry again in a rematch from their SummerSlam match somewhere in the middle of the card, which will be a shame, because both of them should be on top. They both had a great year, and I think they're going to get lost.
You know, hopefully they come up with something better for them, honestly. Well,
it'd be nice.
Yeah. Steve Blackman for the win.
Yeah.
Steve Blackman's not a real person.
who do you think's going to be the surprise guest?
I have no idea, because they have such a big roster. It feels like Mick Foley is a surprise guest for me, honestly.
I know Arun is convinced.
Arn Anderson.
Arn Anderson would be awesome.
Yeah. I don't know if he could even work anymore, though. I mean, he's had injuries. So.
I know Arun's convinced that John Morrison's going to be in this match.
Oh, yeah.
times.
You know, if times are tough and they can't, you know, get anyone to cash in on that Legends contract, you know, maybe Dean Malenko comes out from the back.
That'd be pretty cool.
Maybe, or you know what? Billy Kidman's on the writing staff. He can put on those tights.
Yeah, I don't know if he can. I don't know if you've seen pictures of him lately.
I don't see him try to do a shooting star these days.
Maybe those jean shorts. I don't know about the tights. I told you, my idea was, you remember the one year they did the Three Faces of Foley? And he wore three guys. I said, if they had a smaller roster, this would be my money idea, is you go Three Faces of Festus. And, you know, Festus wore his fake cane, Festus, and Luke Gallows. Someday, maybe next year.
Yeah. Yeah. Or where's Eugene? Where, you know, where's he been?
He came back. They gave him that tryout match against Miz a year or two ago, and he came back all out of shape and like doing drugs and stuff. So they deny him again.
Figures.
Well, yeah, James, if you show up out of shape and doing drugs, it does mean they will not hire you to perform regularly.
Oh, man. Evan Bourne.
I don't know. If Evan Bourne even going to be off suspension in time for this?
No, he's not. But it'll be a surprise if he doesn't show up.
How's Christian?
Oh, yeah. I was talking to Nicetus about this earlier today. Christian is due back. I think he is cleared.
What about Sin Cara? Sin Cara.
I don't know about him.
Rey Mysterio. There's a lot of guys who are out right now who could potentially be in the Rumble. Mm-hmm. Is Triple H going to be in the Rumble?
I don't know.
Based on what you figured out, Ben, there's a good chance he could be.
What did I figure out?
Yeah, that it could be anyone.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, including champions.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah,
and people on staff.
It's true. Just to give you a quick update, I received a text back from Christopher Daniels. In response to me mentioning, I told the story about how friend Ben Lente stole Taskmaster from you on a podcast. His response was, ha ha, his mind meld technique was a well-kept secret. I think it's mean not anymore, because now it has been shared publicly that he was the real creator of Taskmaster.
I think that's a scoop right here. You know, we'll have to get a rebuttal from Fred Van Lente.
You heard it here first. Yeah, Fred Van Lente is going to go, who?
I'm actually working on getting him on the show eventually. So
bring it up, man.
That'd be fun. Okay. Well, we've gotten to that point in the show. We reached the 90-minute mark. I'm nearing our time limit. So.
Crap! I've been talking to Ben Morse for 90 minutes. That's it. I'm done. I don't have to talk to Ben for the rest of the week.
It's every boy's dream.
I don't know about that. Well, guys, it was a lot of fun. I think I should try and get you guys on more often to do this particular type of show. I think it's loads of fun. I'm, you know, I'm, this is it, and just you know just just the wrestling knowledge between this crew is actually pretty amazing.
Cause, yeah, I could start listing obscure wrestlers left and right. I mean, where's Brian Lawler, Grandmaster Sexay? You know,
I could do this. Or, you know, Silver King, perhaps.
I could do this all night.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't listened to every episode of the podcast, but I can say without question, this was the best one ever.
Oh, yep. I don't know, man. Yeah, it's definitely up there. I don't think anyone can top this for a while. I think this is a new standard right here.
I agree.
We set the standard here. Well, yeah. At this point, let's start, you know, giving you guys a chance to plug it. James, how can people find you online, and how would you like for people to get in touch with you?
At Jim Viscardi, Twitter. Mm-hmm. That's where you could probably find me the most. Or you can come to the Next Big Thing live blogs, where, you know, Ben handles most of my communication through that and funnels questions through to me, which, you know. It's fine. It's Ben.
I will tell you what Jim is saying. I thought your response when he was going to be like, how do you want people to get in touch with you? Your answer is going to be, I'd prefer they don't.
Oh, man. And how about you, Ben? Where can people find you online?
They can find me on Twitter at Ben J. Morse. They can follow the This Week in Marvel podcast on marvel.com.
Or subscribe to iTunes, of course.
Available on iTunes and Zune. And they can also interact on Twitter using the hashtag This Week in Marvel. And they can also just pretty much any day on marvel.com. I'm probably doing something, whether it's one of Jim's live blogs or an article or a podcast or a video or something like that. But yeah, I on my Twitter, I keep people pretty updated to what I'm up to.
Okay. And of course you have your other blog with the CKT.
Cool Kids Table. Yes. Yes, I didn't know if I was going to promote that today or not because I'm here as a Marvel representative. But yeah,
oh, we weren't talking Marvel though. We're talking about, you know, the WWE. So.
That's
look,
true.
The less we can credit Kyle for anything, I think the better.
Well, fortunately, Kyle barely posts anything ever, so it's really
there. We go. It's really the Ben blog.
It's not crediting him much at all. No, I love Kyle. You know. Like a weird drunken uncle. Yeah. If you go to the blogspot, coolkidstable.com, that is actually where I do most of my wrestling talk, as well as comics and various other things.
Fantastic.
Again, you can follow that on Twitter at the CKT.
Awesome. Well, again, thank you guys for coming on the show, and thank you guys for the work you do over at Marvel, because, you know, I enjoy, you know, the live blogs, the podcasts, all the promo stuff you guys send out. I think you guys are kind of making, you know, I mean, you're making this a lot of fun. You're making me, you know, less and less worried about spending all my money on comics, and I'm enjoying it because you guys are clearly having fun doing it too. So, you know, I appreciate that.
To be fair, as much as I'd love to take credit for the Next Big Thing live blogs, you know, Ben does a real great job with those, so all credit goes to him.
But
I just make the phone calls happen.
We have nothing to blog about if you don't set them up. So really, it's your baby.
This is clearly a love fest. Also, want to plug our the third guest we were supposed to have on, who Mr. Arun Singh, who we have talked about a few times earlier. You can follow him at twitter.com/Arun. He is a good dude. It's unfortunate that we missed him here. Hopefully we'll get him another time.
We should do one before our Elimination Chamber, and we'll have him on there.
Yeah, we could try to do this into a monthly thing before the pay-per-views. Yeah. I think it'll be fun.
It's totally my scheduling nature. I go, let's do one before every major pay-per-view, and look, we've already invaded your podcast. It's over.
The thing with James is you're going to be like, he'll be like, yep, we should do one before every major pay-per-view, and then before you know it, it's going to be every day of the week at 8 o'clock in the middle of the day. That's how his scheduling nature works. Also,
the only thing we have to do is we have to call him extravaganzas. That's how you win people over.
Also, you can't say what we're talking about in advance. Nope. people like mystery.
Teasers.
Yeah, I'm going to study your marketing, the marketing skills that you guys have shared upon on my show.
Someday, the teachings of James Viscardi will be taught in every marketing class in every college in America. Mark my words. You can also advertise the three of us being on every month, so Arun can back out.
Yeah, exactly.
Every month.
Oh, man. It's really unfortunate he couldn't go. I see he's been tweeting, though, so at least he's doing okay.
He must have just gotten home.
Yeah. It's true. Yeah. It's true. Yeah.
And, of course, if you guys want to follow me all over Twitter and online, you go to about.me/PatLoika for my social networking stuff, twitter.com/PatLoika. And, of course, I would really appreciate it if you guys dropped us a review over on iTunes. It would always be helpful for the show if you guys left us a review, so just saying. And, of course, thanks to our sponsors over at cheapgraphicnovels.com, where you can get your books for up to 45% off cover price. And we'll be back next week with episode 75, which would be,
with us.
Yeah, it would be me all alone answering your
questions. That's an anniversary issue.
It's an anniversary episode, so I have to do it by myself.
All you got to do is just put a reprint at the end of it.
Oh, man.
Just play an old podcast at the end of it.
Yeah, I'll do a clip show with all my, clips from my Bendis and Brubaker and all those interviews.
What you do is just do a normal length podcast, then do a podcast that's half the length by somebody else, and then play one of your old podcasts. And then a cover gallery.
Man. Yep.
Yeah, you need a cover gallery.
Yeah.
People are going to bitch. You'd think we were talking about comics or something in the podcast. But
this is just how our minds work. This is how we
All right. Well, again, thanks again for being on the show. And everyone else, you guys take it easy, and we'll see you next week.
So much without a